Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I've had one too many cigarettes burning up my lungs. Had the taste of one too many lips hanging off my tongue. Oh, oh, oh. Sunday morning getting high, drinking here alone. Thinking up a brand new alibi for not coming home. Oh, oh.
People who, like the founder of the show, recognize that they are on a dangerous path and make the difficult adjustment to be an amazing person. Share poems that reveal the duality of our vulnerability and strengths. Capture the internal battle of the demon and angel on your shoulder. Deep poetry, thoughtful commentary, and fun chatter for sinners, saints, and everyone in between. This is part sinner, part saint, part of Late Night Poets After Midnight. We are a group on allpoetry.com. You don't have to be in the group to participate, but it's more fun if you are. You can talk to us in the chat. You can follow along with the reading, and it'll just be a fun experience to hang out. I'm Aphasiana, and Babbler is away, but we have the fantastic Pam Ray. Hello, Pam.
Hey, Phasey. How's it going?
Busy, busy, but that's a good thing, I think. Crazy busy at work. We had 109 kids in the magic show yesterday, which was, like, so packed. In our little library, it takes up, like, pretty much the entire thing. It's been really busy at work, but also I've been camping every single weekend, so I haven't really had any time where reset. Pretty messy right now because it's like I come home from work, I'm like dead. I do nothing, and then I camp all weekend, so I'm way behind in all chores. But it's been fun.
Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you just have you do. You have to take time for fun. And I have to say, magic shows at work and camping on weekends sounds like a really great time. So very
right?
cool.
I'm lucky.
Yep.
How's it been for you?
Well, I too have been busy, but not necessarily with fun stuff. But still busy. It's a little hot for my taste, but that's okay. I am excited for tomorrow. I'm going up to Duluth for a doctor's appointment, which I'm not excited about that. But I am excited because my sister lives in Duluth, Minnesota, and I'll get to see her and my two nieces and my two nephews. And And from where I live to Duluth, Minnesota is only like an hour and a half drive. But because neither her or I drive and we have to depend on other people, we actually don't get to see each other that often. So I'm really excited to be able to go see her with two of my kids and get to see her and her four kids. So I have that to look forward to. And, of course, tonight I have hanging out with you and, some awesome poetry to get into. So life is good. Life is good.
Oh, I'm so happy you get to see your family. I don't drive either, and I understand it's pretty limiting. I can only go camping because my husband drives us. So I feel, I'm glad you get to see your family.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it looks like you got some awesome prompts for tonight. Man, I wish I could have had the energy and the time to write to them because, man, some of those song lyrics, just in powerful and intense stuff.
Yeah. It's not very much like pop culture music, but I have gotten into this niche. Because of all my medieval camping and stuff, I tend to look up unusual music. And this has, like, kind of a pagan element to it. It's not an old song, but it has, I mean, the title is Same Old Energy. It goes back to the times of discrimination against witches and comes right up to, the way women are treated now. But it also has a witchy element to it, too. So they're not totally wrong in it about her being a witch. I really loved the music, and she just has really intense videos too. So Kiki Rockwell is our inspiration, and the first prompt is the song "Same Old Energy," and the quote from that song that I picked was, "But really, it's shadows just congregating, so act on temptation and live by sensation. This is the reason you came to creation." And I'm going to play that song before we do the poems based on it. So this is Same Old Energy by Kiki Rockwell.
Abomination, got no explanation. The fear plays the nation. Your whole congregation say they should be taken. This woman was Satan. Yes, there's masturbation, some ego sensation. There really is shadow just congregating. So act on temptation and live by sensation. This is the reason you came to creation. Rise up, all flames, come join the game. You started a frenzy, but we'll take the blame. They're just the same, cause by no name. Their arsenal's empty, your fake out is shame.
broom 400 years ago, so you know what to do. Yes, sir, we do. BB's coming through. Close your damn mouth, my man. I told you we flew. She sees, waits, late pins, pounds, schemes, laughs, rolls up in arms. We were just trying to heal. Just trying to survive. A woman with magic is fine with the hint. That magic is between her thighs. Rise up, oh flames, come join the game. It started a frenzy, but we'll take the blame. The fish is the same, of course, find our name. The arsenal's empty, you'll take out his shame.
Would you read that for us?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. I don't know if anyone else is having this problem, but I'm finding on all poetry, every time I post something, say like in the group Late Night Poets, and I have to refresh my page every single time.
Me too.
Okay. So it's not just me. Okay. Must be a site problem. All right, so this is Yesterday's Stagnation by Confess. Pull the wool higher, it's July. I'm sweating and my veins feel like fire. Phone calls missed, I'm petty. Voicemails are filled, sadly. I reminisce of my furry patient companion. I wonder why animals are more dependable than humans, but it's useless. Impudent thoughts flood my heart. I can't even have a dog. Grieving the past, cause in my future I'm scared and obtaining fear has left my mind in the gloomy fog. My happiness, I can't understand what weapons I possess. Distinction, my time is in otherworldly existence. No more passion as sticks and stones parades my elementary bones. I rested equipped, I'm restless here. I cut out those words, clue them to a poster board and manifested. I should have prayed for consistency. Instead, dreams are only in my sleep and none have leaped into reality. Stagnant, no settled compassion for my current mindset. I want to detach from this fruitless, twisted threat. In this universe, I'm in debt. I have to put my focus in check. This life collects your energy, and yet your demise is already set in time. I won't waste yesterday trying to define the tribulations of my mind. End poem.
Excellent read. This is really interesting. The first line, pull the wool higher, makes me think of the expression, the wool over your eyes. It's like, choosing to be ignorant, or not ignorant, but like hiding from the truth. To pull down the wool would be to have to face what's out in the world and pulling the wool higher, just wanting to hide away, which makes sense right after that because it's like not listening to the phone calls or the voicemail, just kind of shutting out the world. Where is it here? And the feeling of animals being more dependable than humans. I think it's common for especially introverts to feel that, where it's like there's a certain trust in having an animal companion where you can tell them anything and they're not going to argue with you. And there's just this kind of innocent connection that it's difficult to get with humans sometimes. So I think people will relate to this. Where is it now? I really liked, "No passion as sticks and stones parade my elementary bones." I like that he uses elementary because there's that elementary rhyme. Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. Except words are hurting, it seems. There's also the sticks and stones. There's pain all around. But I felt like the elementary there kind of referenced that the rhyme. And later on, when it says, where is it? There was a double meaning of a word here. I've lost it. here we go. "In this universe, I'm in debt to have to put my focus in check." So check, I think, also works, even though it's spelled with a C-K, it also would work with the Q-U-E, check, because it's talking about in debt. So you have to write a check by keeping your focus in check. That seemed like it was a good use of wordplay in that part there. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I really liked this one. I thought it was very relatable. And I like your observation on the wordplay, the dual meaning of the word check. I also thought there was a double meaning and wordplay in the use of the word elementary bones. I thought of, you know, how Sherlock Holmes says, "Elementary, dear Watson." So it's like the logical side of yourself, but it's also a reference to elementary school and how we learn that saying at a young age, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." And then, you know, sadly, as we grow and mature in thought, we do start to realize that words do hurt. And anybody who says otherwise is denying the truth. I thought this had really some powerful and intriguing lines. I really like the flow of it and how she writes on a mind haunted by dreams that didn't come true. But also about, I think it focuses a lot to me on depression. You know, and I found especially relatable, "Phone calls missed, I'm petty, voicemails are filled sadly." That's me. When I'm at my worst, I hate listening to voicemails. I hate answering the phone, you know, and they will pile up. Like how she says at the end, "I won't waste yesterday trying to define the tribulations of my mind." That feels like somebody who's starting to be on the edge of wanting to move on. Like they realize they went through a time of depression, of you know, perhaps struggling with mental illness, a difficult time in life. And there's no going back. There's no changing the past. You can simply move forward. So wonderful lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Our next poem is by Jenny of the Deep. It's to the same prompt. I'm a little slow because I'm also having that refresh issue. Okay, here we go. Rolling down to the running back up the hill, this hill tattered, by Jenny the Deep. Same old lies you tell me, promising to never cause injury. Words hurt just as bad as beatings, sometimes worse when degrading. We are one, not slave and master, but equal. Run with me up this hill to delinquish all evil. Not all women and witches are not all women are witches, as you claim. We differ in appearance, but bleed the same. Institutionalized for crying hysterically, slowly repeating atrocities historically, blaming me daily for your anger makes my heart race as if in danger. Loud, harsh barks attack my heart. Now I'm rolling down the hill, torn apart. Took your blame long enough, not anymore. With help from friends, I'll walk out this door. Running back up the emerald verdant hill, descending to a new love, time now stands still. No more daunting lies or nightly cries. Considered an equal, he makes me smile. End poem. Pam, will you start the comments on that one, please?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, great read there, Faisy. Oh, man, a wonderful emotive write by Jenny. I really like how she takes us through a journey and speaks on equality. I really like we are one, not slave and master, but equal. And I think that's how it should be in a friendship or in a relationship, whether it's a friendship or a romantic relationship, a marriage. There should be this sense of equality. I like how this speaks on, to me, it speaks on emotional and verbal abuse. Loud, harsh barks attack my heart. Now I'm rolling down the hill, torn apart. That was also a really great rhyme. And I like how this almost, to me, seems to be someone talking to an ex about their current relationship. Because it starts out with same old lies you tell me, and then ends with no more daunting lies or nightly cries. Considered an equal, he makes me smile. So I feel like this is a write about a woman who's decided that she's no longer going to put up with that emotional and verbal abuse, that she's ready to move on to a relationship with a partner who sees her as an equal and, you know, keeps her happiness in mind. So wonderful write and very well done.
I agree. I really like how it starts with same old, because the song was same old energy, but this is the same old lies, and it's making that connection there. And then when it used delinquish, I was questioning whether that was the right word choice, but it actually works really well. I think I had a different I was thinking delinquent. Yes, I was, because I was like, what? But then I looked it up, and to give up or retire from it, so to delinquish evil, all evil, to let go of it, yes. I think I was thinking delinquent because it threw me off, and then actually it worked out really well when you actually look at the proper word. And I really liked hysterically and historically being worked together, because historically being treated as hysterical has been, you know, a big problem. I mean, hysterical is like the hysterectomy, kind of like it's the blaming your female parts and hormones for being quote-unquote crazy. And to think of crying as the reason to be institutionalized when maybe your situation warranted crying. Maybe they are being mistreated. And that whole part, I think, loops together really nicely. And the concept of the hill works as a nice metaphor because, you know, she was pushed down that hill, but now she's working her way back up, and she's not going to be in that gutter anymore. She's going to work her way to the top. It feels like a very empowering energy, and that's something that I think suits the music. As much as it talks about, you know, difficult times, there is this empowering strength that Kiki finds, and I think Jenny has found that as well.
Yeah, I like that, lady, in your comment where you said it has an empowering energy. Very cool there.
Our next poem is by G.A. Grimm, and we actually have a SoundCloud from him, I believe. So let me just take a look for that. Here we are.
This is Eternally Internal 2, a cappella, by G.A. Grimm. I'm telling you to please go away. It would be better if you don't stay. Pack up your baggage and leave this place. Give me a moment, give me some space. I'm tired of your voice in my head. Just leave me be and fuck off instead. Don't need you to tell me what to do. I know my prayers won't never come true. Stop telling me that you know I'm seen, making me believe this world's not mean. Give me hope when I know there's none, that once these clouds go, I'd see the sun. Gonna set a fire and watch it burn. That's what they do when they get their turn. This place will never have love for me.
Sorry, I just realized that is the wrong poem. That is for the next contest. That is for the next one, because we have two contests that we're doing tonight, if there's time. That's for the second one. So I'm going to stop that for now, and we will come back to it with the next contest. I'm sorry, George, for messing that up. So instead, I'm going to get Pam to read the one that is for this contest. My apologies. This one is Today I Die Again, if you can read that for us, Pam.
I'd be happy to. Today I Die Again by G.A. Grimm. So today, once again, I fail to grasp life, reach my carpe diem desires, feeling only enough to know I am still lacking, never enough to try to change. Apathy stalks me, coloring everything. My disease, my lover, constant companion, her numbing caress, she holds me, whispering assurances, nothing really matters, my will draining away slowly, each day losing more, until there's nothing left. End poem.
Well read, Pam. Thank you. And this is really interesting, G.A. Grimm. I find it fascinating that it was written in, according to his Anne, altered Fibonacci sequence syllable count. So it's one syllable, then two, then three, then five, eight, 13, back to eight, five, three, two, one. And that's what gives it its really neat shape, is that he was using that amount of syllables. Really interesting to me that he used the Fibonacci sequence. Very creative. And, wow, I'm floored by that. And then he writes in his AN, running opposite to the hedonistic vibe of the quote. So he kind of countered it with another vibe, but I think it worked really nicely. Failing to reach the carpe diem desires. I really like the line, feeling only enough to know I am still lacking. That's really hard, to just feel enough that you know that you should be feeling more, that on that very edge of things. It reminds me of when you have, like, dementia, just being aware enough to know that you're not aware. You know, it can almost be better to be completely unaware, than to be aware that you're unaware. That fine line there can be really hard. And then the disease being the constant companion. And I kind of have the impression that that disease is depression, because she is telling him that nothing matters. She is numbing him. And I think that lover is depression embodied. What did you think, Pam?
I like that observation, and I thought the same thing, that it had to do with depression. And I, too, was impressed with the form. I'd actually like to try this myself. I like forms that use syllable counts. I think it's a fun challenge, and I do like how it lends to the shaping of the poem. Wonderful emotive line on the losing of self to despair, to that disease of depression. And I really like the lines, I fail to grasp life, reach my carpe diem desires, feeling only enough to know I am still lacking. You know, that idea of, you know, knowing there is more out there, but not having the energy or the will to go for it. And I like how he personifies the depression with my disease, my lover, constant companion, her numbing caress, she holds me. I also thought that maybe another thing it could be speaking about is the idea of almost like an addiction to a drug or alcohol that numbs the senses. Wonderful lines all the way through and very well done.
Agreed. We have one more poem to that prompt, and that is by Jesna Sajan, We Repeat History. We have lost freedom, women and men, floating, diverse mannerisms, we claim our rights, screaming. We've lost rights to live, homeless, rotating. Stop calling us names that do not belong, renaming. We are still humans with flesh and blood, breathing. Money, wealth, power, and fame is not everything. Rise up, awake from your slumber. Dry up your tears, wake up from this blunder. Rise up from your slumber. Come on, let's start. Dig the past and remember. Our days are the same, baby. We repeat history. We churn our pain daily, baby. We repeat history. We cry silently, bearing all, baby. We repeat history. We are unable to fight. We should, baby. We repeat history. We were robbed of diamonds and pearls, our riches. Slammed for not cleaning or washing dishes, throttling and stomping, thrashing our wishes, screaming and yelling, it's our faults and misses. Like snakes, they bruise us, torture us in their hisses. Throttling and stomping, thrashing our wishes, slammed for not cleaning or washing dishes, we were robbed of diamonds and pearls, our riches. Rise up, awake from your slumber. Dry up your tears, wake up from this blunder. Rise up, awake from your slumber. Come on, let's start, dig the past and remember. Our days are the same, baby, we repeat history. We churn our pain daily, baby, we repeat history. We cry silently, bearing all, baby, we repeat history. We are unable to fight, we should, baby, we repeat history. We must rise up, wake up, eye to eye. Let's stand up, fight for our rights, stand by. We will march in numbers, slogans on high. They will no more tell us to die. We will not do as they did, yet we will try. We stand in unison, who will defy? They give us to our demands, They will give to our demands with a sigh. Our days are the same, baby. We repeat history. We churn our pain daily, baby. We repeat history. We cry silently, bearing all, baby. We repeat history. We are unable to fight. We should, baby. We repeat history. End poem.
Oh, bravo there, Faizy. What an excellent read. I mean, you really got into that one. And I like this one. I really feel like recently Jesna has really found her voice. And I mean, she's always been a wonderful poetess. But I have to say, between this poem and one that was, or this song, and one that was similar to it that she wrote for Rex's Rhythm and Rhyme Show, and I'm not saying it was the same poem, but it had a similar vibe, like really powerful lines, like kind of a really hard rock, almost heavy metal type feel to it, but also a spoken word poetry feel, especially with the read that you lended to it. You know, and I like how she brings us into the idea with her these lyrics with learning from history and how we don't always learn from it and how we need to do. And I like that this encompasses a stretched out view of like all humanity, like we, the people, need to learn from history. But because she brings in at the outro, our days are the same, baby, you know, it becomes about speaking to an individual person. So I feel like this is about not only speaking to humanity about how we need to learn from history, but how two people need to learn from their individual history. I really liked the imagery and metaphors and the strong lines. You know, I really like stop calling us names that do not belong, renaming. We are still humans with flesh and blood breathing. And rise up, awake from your slumber, dry up your tears, wake up from this blunder. And we repeat history. And, you know, and oftentimes we do. Oftentimes we fail to learn from the past. And it is a very sad thing. And hopefully eventually we will learn from it. But, you know, in the meantime, I guess we just keep moving forward. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
I really enjoyed it. Like, she wrote it as a song, and I didn't exactly know the tune, although as I got near the end, I was like, I think she actually wrote it to the tune of the song.
Okay. Yeah, I bet you're right.
Like, because where it's like, same old energy, baby, it's our days are the same, baby. We repeat history. We churn our pain daily, baby. Okay, I can't do it, but I think she actually followed the tune of the song, which is impressive. I think she managed to keep that pace and rhythm of the song, which I couldn't sing along unless I was listening to the background music, and even then it would be sketchy. But I think that she did a fabulous job of making it work. And, I mean, her theme and her vibe here definitely fits the prompt. It has that empowering of rise up, you know, be aware that you're mistreated or going to be mistreated. You need to wake up from that slumber because things are happening. And come on, let's start dig the past and remember. I think that one is really the call to arms here because, I mean, if you look at our world, there are a lot of places pretty close to home where women are potentially losing rights. I mean, I heard some people were trying to take away the right of women to vote in the states, which is terrifying to me. But dig the past and remember, like, look at what's happening compared to before and look into things. And then, you know, that that looking at history, and I like we churn our pain daily because it has that historical feel of like churning butter, but it's churn your pain and make something out of it. That's really interesting. And then I think it calls on that those traditional kind of roles of cleaning, washing the dishes, being stuck within certain niches, that it slammed for not doing those, for going outside of traditional roles and maybe taking on something else, and the challenges of that. I thought the repetition in this worked really well, as it did in the original song. And she did a fantastic job of phrasing it as a song. When I read it, I didn't say the categories, but before her stanza, she says verse one or pre-chorus or chorus. So it gives you a sense of how it would sound. I thought this was really creative and a great response to the prompt. So that was the end of prompt one. Prompt two was the song Burn Your Village Down. And I'm not going to play that whole song, but I will do the quote from it. Whore, mother, sister, slut, I am the divine goddess of the smut. Nurse, sinner, virgin, bitch, I am the vengeful daughter of the witch. And it kind of plays on the different roles that are kind of thrust upon us, and there's those opposites. You're either the whore or the virgin. You're the sister or the sinner, the slut or the nurse. So there are these certain roles that are kind of what women get known for, and perhaps more in the past than now, but it's still a thing where we get boxed into these extremes. And in the song, there is a particular woman who is very much mistreated, and she responds pretty strongly, as you can get from the title, Burn Your Village Down. She gets her revenge. It's actually quite an intense song, which I enjoyed quite a bit, but I'm strange. And nobody wrote to it directly. Ben Hart wrote to multiple prompts, and that was one of the prompts. He combined them all. I am going to play prompt three, which was the main influence, it seems, for Ben's, and that is the song My Cup Runneth Over. I really don't feel like Blog Talk does that song justice at all. If you have, like, really amazing speakers, it's a little different. So that was prompt 3. And the quote I chose from that one was, "There's 7 deadly sins, but somehow all I got was greed. Yeah, I see the warnings that I shall never heed." And part I liked about that the most was seeing the warnings and knowing you're not going to heed them. You know it's coming, but you make that mistake anyway. So our poem that combines multiple prompts is by Ben Hart. And that one is, I'll say in advance which prompt. So prompt 1 is about something that Kiki Rockwell said. Prompt 2, section 1 is something she said. Section 2 is based on prompt 3. Section 3 is based on prompt 2. Section 4 is based on Ritamare by Ludovico Einaudi. And part 5, section 5, is based on prompt 1. So Ben went all out, as he tends to do, using multiple prompts for inspiration. This is Witnesses of Creation in the Trial Against Decay. 1. The Thief. Had you loved, you would have run across unfound fields to meet me there when the mist came to reclaim what I had stolen from the moment, a way to make you feel the center star in unbound freedom. Had you loved, you would have run across every empty thing to just sit with me and let the words go by, despite the way they would have looked on the page, or in promise to be made to let things remain the same. Had you loved, you would have run when the stars got caught in cloud banks upon twilight sky, an unlift, unfit place to die. For something so vibrant, being so alive after its time, it had them all looking up to recalibrate so many a hopeless eye. But if only they knew the heavenly body that walked among them, and with the world looking away to escape their decay, I found you, the last one alone, not needing somewhere to go, because in loneliness, you were home. And that was the moment I should have known how this story goes. If it had not been for the fact you raised your head, not to the stars, but to the depths, and said, as though you knew I'd hear, "I'm here, I'm here, I came running, dear." 2, the usurper. There are no kings in this game, only gods and believers. And where all of them were out of the blood of worship, it was you who I believed, when you wrote that you were hurting, unached and unblued, still, it had hold of you, the need to be bereaved. And where you may have thought you were only ever leaving, you left me renewed and reprieved. 3, the caretaker. Prayers that were really just thoughts, intentions I forgot to water. But unlike houseplants, they don't go rotten. They just start to weigh. Every free thought you get in a day. So if you want something, don't waste it. They'll say numb is an end to the pain, but it's not that. It's no longer wanting anything. Knowing you want everything, but don't know where to begin. And so you settle for nothing. Slip into the fall. Tell your friends you'll call. Tell yourself you'll go outside, but pass out in the hall. Do drugs for the effects, and do them all. Write life stories on the walls, and then get up for work in the morning, like you're not too tall to sit a desk that small. Say hi to Chatty Betty, like you're not in hell, and spend another day thinking about how great it would be if you had the balls to kill yourself. But then it's 6 p.m., and you're free again. And you just make a mediocre meal and watch the news instead, just to convince Betty you're not really going through with it, because even though you hate her, she is the only one who'd notice if you did or did not live, because she drives me home, and I drive her insane. She is just being kind, and I'm in a state. 4. The Divine Ensemble. The earth is God's orchestra, where the hills are the pianists, leading distance by the hand through sun-pooled veils and the violin winds, guide to the strikers in motion, the fallows and the fields, the reeds and the river, the trees, following light's vibration into the music of movement, like volcanoes and their brass beneath the covers death in black basalt, steps descending into ancient symphonies, to the rhythm of the seas beating, the drum, that endless shaking shore, the rhythm of the choir, beating on the doors of heaven's halls. 5. The prey. What if we are the moths, drawn to heaven's streetlights? Such are the stars, just to be sustenance for the demon in the dark. End poem.
Great read there, Faisy. And oh my goodness, to be a fly on the wall of Ben's mind when he is contemplating a poem inspired by so many different prompts. You know, as always, just brilliant imagery and metaphors, a beautifully written vignette. I really like the use of the phrase, had you loved, you would have run across every empty thing to just sit with me and let the words go by, despite the way they would have looked on the page. I feel like this is speaking to somebody from someone's past. And the idea of being in a relationship that's one-sided, and you know, you claim to have loved, and yet you show none of the virtues, none of the actions that come with love. I always like and appreciate how Ben weaves together the spiritual and the physical elements of life and emotions. I really like the beginning of part 3 with the caretaker, prayers that were really just thoughts, intentions I forgot to water. But unlike houseplants, they don't go rotten. And I like how, you know, that speaks on the idea that there can be both, you know, negative side and a plus side to prayers and thoughts, you know. I mean, because sometimes there's an emptiness to when somebody says, you know, I'll say a prayer for you, I'll, you know, send you good thoughts, when they could be helping, but they're, you know, physically, and physical help is what you need. But other times when that's all a person can offer, it's a beautiful thing to have, you know, and, I know I certainly always appreciate any kind of prayers or, you know, positive energy, and I think many people do. I liked the humor of bringing in Chatty Betty, because it made me think of the doll from the 1960s and 70s, Chatty Cathy, and similar dolls. And I don't know if Chatty Betty was something that they have where he lives, or if he just made that name up, or, you know. But, yeah, with Chatty Cathy, she had that string in the back, and you pulled it, and she'd say, like, some phrases, and, you know, so that had a nice reminiscent quality. And I do like where he says, that where it says, but then it's 6 p.m., and you're free again, and you just make a mediocre meal and watch news instead, just to convince Betty you're not really going through with it. Because even though you hate her, she is the only one who'd notice if you did or did not live. Such a wonderful use of conflicting emotions. On the one hand, having a hatred for this person. On the other hand, realizing that this person is so busy prying into your life that they would be the only person to notice. There's such a sadness to this. And what if we are the moths drawn to heaven's streetlight, such are the stars, just to be sustenance for the demon in the dark? Wow, that's a powerful ending, a very philosophical, and looking at the whole idea of what is our purpose and why are we so drawn to the stars within the heavens. Amazing, right, and very well done.
I agree that it's amazing. In the first section I really liked, had you love, you would have run across every empty thing to just sit with me. That just sit with me is so key, because even if you don't have, you know, a wonderful thing to say to comfort someone, even if you can't take them somewhere great, you just go into that empty place and you be with them and you let them just be and feel what they're feeling, but you're there in support if they need you. And there's something really powerful about having someone who will just sit with you. And that if you had loved, you would have done that is such a strong statement. And I like that. Like you said, had you loved, recognizes that the person who claimed that they loved didn't, because they would have done these things. They should have known to do those things. Now, some people just have a messed up love language and they don't understand how to express it, but I thought this was really powerful. And then the third part, where is it now? I really liked the houseplant part too. Intentions I forgot to water, but unlike houseplants, they don't go rotten. They just start to weigh. And I like that just start to weigh, because all of those thoughts, you kind of push to the back of your mind. Eventually, your back of your mind fills up. They start to weigh on you. There's all of these things that maybe you don't quite remember, but you had like half a thought that you were going to do something, and it becomes that naggy feeling of like, what was I supposed to be doing? What was I going to write? And you have all of those thoughts that just weigh you down because they were intentions and ideas that you forgot to nurture. And what could they have been if you had watered them, so to speak? And I also really liked that it's not that you don't want anything. It's that you want everything, but you don't know where to begin. And so you settle for nothing. And I think that has kind of a, I don't know if it's ADHD vibe, but it's something where I find myself, if I have too many things to do, then I can't do anything. It's like, if I have like a couple things, then I can do it. And I should feel more motivated if there's a lot to do, but it's just sort of like, well, I don't even know where to start. And then you just don't, which I know is not a healthy reaction, but that's kind of, I just shut right down. And I feel like that's kind of that thing where it's like, you want so much that you feel like you can't possibly have it all, and so why bother? And then you don't get any of the things, whereas if you chose some, you could. The Chatty Betty being the only person who would notice the narrator being gone, that's really sad. And I do think the Chatty Betty might be referring to that doll, probably because it's capitalized. But the thing about those dolls is they only say very generic pleasantries. It's like the small talk of like, nice weather, or like whatever. Like it just like says the same thing over and over again. And so that's how I'm picturing Chatty Betty. Despite the fact that she's chatty, she doesn't really say anything. She just kind of does the what she says would say to anyone. It's not really a conversation. And having that be your only point of contact is, you know, not very mentally stimulating, and can make you feel like you're lost. And then to just go through the motions. You get home, you're too tired to make anything nice, so you have a mediocre meal, and you watch the news because then you can know the things that Betty's referring to and show that you're, you know, still connected to the world for her. And then it's just such a sad little circle. It hits me. And for listeners, if you're ever thinking about harming yourself, like it talks about here, please do seek some help. There are lots of free hotlines where you can talk to people about it and get support. I can't list them because there's people from many, many areas, and I'm not sure where. But if you're really stuck, send me a message, and I'll find something for you in your area. For part four, the Divine Ensemble, I also really liked the star. Oh wait, is this the part? I've lost where I was. There's a star part that I really liked. That I think. Oh, okay. So that was actually I missed it in part one. I think, or I'm just repeating myself. He talks about how the stars are already gone, some of them. So, where is it? Okay, here. For something so vibrant, being so alive after its time, it had them all looking up to recalibrate so many a hopeless eye. So there's a bit of irony in that because people are looking up and feeling inspired by these bright stars, and they're dead. The stars are dead. They're gone. This light is coming to them afterwards. But even after death, these stars have provided people with hope and with motivation. So that's pretty cool that the star was capable of that, to be so vibrant in life. Even after its time, it has an impact on people. And I think that is supposed to be metaphorical. So some people are so vibrant in life. They have such, you know, impact on the people in their lives, whether they realize it or not. And even after they're gone, they still live on because of the way that the people they impacted will shine. I just think that's really beautiful. I could just be making that up because I don't know his intention, but that's how I choose to take that part, and I really enjoy it. The musical
I like
elements.
That.
Oh, thanks, Pam. In part four, there's so much music and really interesting way of connecting Earth to music that I know Daniel Deschino would like lose his mind reading this. He would love it so much. So I have to send this to Dan and say, read this part because you're going to love it. I know that he will. Actually, he usually listens. So Dan, go read this poem. The prey, are we just drawn to those lights? The way that moths are, and what danger does that put us in to want to be part of that light? really philosophical piece. I enjoyed this very much, which is not surprising because Ben usually has some really interesting pieces. So thank you for sharing that with us. That was the end of that contest, but I also had a contest called Conscience, and that one was write a poem or song where you are arguing with your conscience. So for that one, we're going to start with one by Scott Sharp, and I'm going to get you to read that, Pam.
All right. Sense and Feeling, Arguing with My Conscience, by S. Sharp. Hello, it's me again, feeling, stripped down, exposed by the illness of right and wrong, sanity still birthed, shadows of life, humanity, unplugged, a flickering light. But wait, what is that I hear? So many echoes in these vagabond ears, bullets shot, darkest years forgot or hung, strung up on a rope in a closet or a tree. Is that you, Sense? I see you in the mirror standing behind me, a shadow of regret, had and clad in a second guessing, no use distressing. Sense, you abandoned me long ago. Oh, feeling inside these broken ribs, emotion shatters like a wishbone pulled apart like abstract art, where mold grows on invisible walls. Standing alone, accusity, report, time to abort, damn the long haul. Out for the curtain call, you and I are lost to the mind of a crazy society. Wait, Sense, I must confess, I too cower in society's bright light, prisoner interrogated, flown like a kite, string cut, let go, still I try as I might. Society inebriated, pukes on the floor, drunk with power, wanting no more than to devour yours, my heart, a buzzard swooping in as we cower. From what has occurred, haven't you heard being drunk with logic is a good disguise? I drink so I can talk to assholes, including myself. Feeling, I sense we are one together residing inside these thoughts outside. Double-edged knives cut the jugular, twist and braid the noose. Public hanging, noon or bullets in the chamber, confused for solutions, alone at midnight. Argue as we might in the long dark night, we are one. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And this is really an interesting piece. I like the back and forth in it. Where is it now? I like that kind of questions. Is that you, Sense? I see you in the mirror. And the anger, you abandoned me long ago. Like, I needed you, Sense, and you weren't there. I like emotion shatters like a wishbone. Because when you break a wishbone, it's really great if you do get a big piece and a little piece. That's cool. But sometimes it just completely falls apart and nobody gets their wish. So I like that because if it's a debate between, like, your good side and your bad side, and then it shatters, that's a wishbone where neither one got their wish. And everything just kind of falls apart. Nobody gets their side. So I thought that was a really interesting image to have there. I also like that it describes it as abstract art where mold grows on invisible walls. That's just a fascinating concept to me, where the mold in your mind, the things that are going wrong because they're getting old without being taken care of, are becoming an abstract art. You're growing in unusual ways and maybe not in the best of ways. Where is it now? The part with the drunk, here we go. Being drunk with logic is a good disguise. I drink so I can talk to assholes, including myself. I like that because you can fill yourself with a certain kind of way of thinking to be able to handle being around those people. I'm thinking of like internet forums where, you know, there's a certain kind of ignorance, and it's like you have to read up on the crap that they do to be able to be in a state where you can talk to them. But also, you know, being drunk, being literally drunk, can be an excuse for people to act in ways that would not be so acceptable if they were thought to be thinking clearly. You know, you get away with stuff when you're drunk because it loosens inhibitions and people kind of brush it off, but you're still you. You're still kind of responsible. You are responsible for what you do. So to drink because you can talk to assholes and because you can tolerate yourself, including yourself, is interesting. So to be drunk on logic, I feel like you could really think about that section for quite a while. And then, again, we have suicidal kind of response, which I'm not sure I expected with the conscience. I should have, maybe, with this prompt. And it's dark, but it also has a strange unity at the end where, argue as we might, in The Long Dark Night, we are one. It ends up, though, all the parts of himself are together, even if it's not in the greatest of ways. Really interesting. What did you think, Pam?
Well, I like this very much. And I like your observation. It's funny because that part about I drink so I can and talk to assholes, and he did put it in quotations marks, but I thought, so that sounds pretty familiar. And it's actually, and I was looking and I realized the reason it sounded familiar is because it's a quote or very close to a quote that I had in a contest by Jim Morrison. Being drunk is a good disguise. I drink so I can talk to assholes. This includes me. And I like how he fit that into this poem and the whole idea of being drunk on life. I mean, I have to say, this poem had me doing so much thinking. First of all, it made me think of the cartoon of, you know, the heart and the brain talking to each other. Although I have to say with that cartoonist, my favorite part is when he brings in or they, I'm not actually sure, bring in the uterus and it's like, quick, give it wine and chocolate and run away. But anyways, I digress. But amazing write by Scott. And, it also made me think of the book Sense and Sensibility. And when you were talking about, being drunk on, what was the word that he used? Dang it, I missed it. Where was that? Being drunk with logic. it makes me think of barstool philosophers, but it also makes me think of the poem Be Drunk by Charles Baudelaire. And if you've never read that poem, I highly recommend it, because it is all about choosing something to just really enjoy in life, to be so immersed in, whether it's poetry or virtue or wine or whatever it is. And I'm paraphrasing Charles Baudelaire's poem, whatever it is, you know, get drunk in it, get deep into it. But I like how this is a rite about a man arguing with his own conscience and how common sense has just gone out the door. You know, another thought was I did think of Sense and Sensibility by Jane Austen, but in a more edgy and a modern feel. And also, it's like as if somebody is taking the concept of Sense and Sensibility and made it into a soliloquy. So it's only the person speaking to themselves on why did sense leave me, you know, and how can I get away from it? And yeah, that dark twist at the end, oh my goodness, powerful line. Bullets in the chamber, confused for solutions, alone at midnight, argue as we might, in the long dark night, we are one. And that is so true. When it comes to depression, suicidal thoughts, it hits the hardest when you're alone at nighttime. So amazing, right, and very well done.
Those are some great comments, Pam. When you're talking about the heart and brain, so that's by Awkward Yeti. And
okay.
I love those cartoons, too. That's and he is a man. I love,
okay.
love his cartoons. I really enjoy the gallbladder ones and the kidney stone ones, too, because it's always, like, the little guy and he's holding, a handful of like, eggs with, like, balls. And he's like, I made these. And it's not a good thing.
Oh, it's too funny.
the poet that we just read, S. Sharp, is actually the photographer of the images that are my prompts for tomorrow's Double Helix. So.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, you
very
can check
cool.
out.
That could be a great day. Oh, I will, definitely, definitely. Actually, I do think I do have that one bookmarked. Yeah.
Ah. Wow. You could squeeze one in for tomorrow if you like.
Awesome.
Speaking of Double Helix, my co-host for that, Daniel Deschino, wrote this next poem. This is Living with Insanity or Living with Insanity by Daniel Deschino. I listen to these discussions within my head, debates, arguments, fights, whatever they are, but always releases the question, if I'm listening to them, who am I listening to? I try to be fair and listen to both sides concerning the environment. All I really know is the weather is not right. It's absurdly hot and humid, and I need to drink water. Tap water is just not safe, though. So bottled water fills my shopping cart. That's the cost, right? Those plastic bottles. But I mean, recycle. Well, I've been reading that recycling isn't really doing anything anymore. But who wrote that article anyway? When the oil's actually gone, how much plastic will mark the world because of me? And what am I supposed to do about it anyway, man? I'm just here. I didn't do it. You know, invent plastic and use it for everything. And I mean, seriously, I deserve at least to be able to drink clean water. I work hard all the time. We have all this delivery now right to our homes for basically everything. What do I have to do? Drive to the store to get something? I mean, what's one more Amazon box? A piece of bubble wrap. Am I that lazy, though? how did I buy stuff 20 years ago? What am I now? I'm a person that deserves a cold bottle of water. That's what I am. So why is this an argument? You're the kind of person that sees somebody lying in the street and keeps walking and doesn't want to get involved, aren't you? Of course not. I would help. And look, all I want is a bottle of water, nice and cold, from my refrigerator. The refrigerator is packed, isn't it? Good thing you have that box of juice boxes individually wrapped in plastic with plastic straws. You did it. You're a hero. The world is safe. Hooray. Want to keep the refrigerator door open a little bit longer in the summer heat while you're at it? Okay, this is ridiculous. Can I just enjoy a cold bottle of water on a hot summer day? This one plastic bottle is not going to do anything. Okay, I have to get back to work now. I'm going to drink my water, not enjoy it, recycle the bottle, take an antacid, as I have upset my stomach. Oh, shoot. They come in a plastic container, too. Most days, I think I live with insanity. But that line of thinking might be the first sign of living with insanity. I've been on this planet too long and gathered too much confusion with each blink of my eyelashes as a Venus flytrap devouring everything I see. I need to escape for a minute. I can shut the lights off in this room. There is no need for them to be on. Save a little electricity, you know? I just need to escape. Quick look out the window. I happen to catch a neighbor turning off a porch light, and I float. The gravity that is my thought cannot cage birds of imagination, and I am above the world. It's not my darkened house I see, but millions of lights dimmed. It's not one person I see walking to a store or a farm stand. It's billions. And the world breathes just a little easier. End poem.
Great read there, Faizy. Oh, my gosh. I have to say I really enjoy this write by Daniel. And I feel like his sense of humor really comes through in this. I mean, there's also a serious point to this write, but it's done in such a witty, clever, and fun way. And I like how it speaks on the idea of how we can become so obsessed with one little thought. You know, and yes, we want to save the planet, but yes, we also want to enjoy that plastic bottle of clear, refreshing water. And the anxiety of arguing back and forth. I really like how he starts out with, in a world of video screens delivered to front porches, wrapped in plastic to be thrown away in curbside recycle bins made of plastic, it's easy to forget who you are. Sidewalks guide my daily meditation, a place for me to walk. I do know from what Dan has said before that he does a lot of his thinking about poetry and life in general while going on his walks. And I have to agree, going for walks is very meditative. I really like where he says, I am constantly in the front row for the concert that is human evolution. And, you know, he's up on his soapbox. He's up on his platform. At the same time, am I reading? I'm reading the, oh, shit. I'm commenting on the wrong damn poem. How did that happen? What the heck? And you're just letting me go along with that.
No, because it is about the environment. So you're reading Living Within Sanity of Living with Insanity?
Okay, so what? But is it in your contest or was it just put on the board?
It was in my contest because we're on the second contest now, the conscience, argue with your conscience.
Okay, but you know what? I was actually commenting on the wrong poem because the thing is, it was just so happened to be a different poem of his. Oh, man, and I must have clicked on, because sometimes with my Kindle Fire, my fingers, my hands will tap down on a link, and you know how they have, like, more by Daniel Dechino. And
yep.
I clicked on another poem, and that was in a different contest, and it just happened to be about, you know, recycling and the environment. But it wasn't.
That's hilarious because it matches.
I went on the big, I mean, gosh, that was a great comment on the wrong poem. And then, yeah, but you're right. It does make sense. It makes sense why you were letting me go on for so long and not going, Pam.
I didn't think you were looking at the wrong one. I thought you just had some, you know, a little bit offbeat comments on this one.
Okay. Well, let me start this over again because I did start out with the right intentions and the right thought. And I apologize, but I did think this was one that shows well his sense of humor. And I do like how it does speak on the idea of how we argue with ourselves about every little thing and we feel anxiety over the simplest choices. I mean, you know, like shopping, you know, even choosing, you know, do I want to enjoy, as I was saying, that refreshing bottle, classic bottle of water, or do we have to, you know, put a lot of thought into, you know, the environment, which is important to do. But he definitely shows the anxiety of the everyday moment. And I really like the bite in the refrigerator is packed, isn't it? Good thing you have that box of juice, boxes individually wrapped in plastic with plastic straws. You did it. You're a hero. The world is safe. Hooray. I mean, the bite and the sardonic wit in that is just great. And I do like how he speaks on how we put so much pressure on our individual choices and feeling as if it's all on, you know, that we will be the ones to save the world. And you know, how much it can just really put a lot of pressure on a person, which is a good thing because you do need to be pressured to help out as much as you can. On the other hand, you know, some people seem to be under the disillusion that they're helping more than they actually are. So just an amazing write by Daniel and very well done. And the other write was amazing and well done, too. There you go, two for one.
You
special.
Just got a Daniel double feature about environment. That's all, Pam. That's awesome. I really enjoyed this. I thought he had a great kind of conversational tone to it that was perfect for having that conversation with your conscience. In the beginning, it's very meta where it's like talking about having these conversations. I listen to these discussions within my head and then wondering, like, who am I listening to? On the one hand, it's who am I listening to, this guy or this guy? But also, like, who, like, which one is you? If you're listening to it, then it's like, but they're me, so how am I, like, what third person am I? It's just, it's an interesting thing of, because it's not like where someone, like, with a mental illness hears voices. This is just, like, your inner thought process. And that idea of, like, wondering if you're asking yourself a question, is it you asking or is it you answering? Or, like, it's somehow both you. It's just, kind of a loop that you can get into. So that was, it was interesting to start that way. Oh, first of all, the title I love because living within sanity or living with insanity, because within sanity and with insanity sound the same, you know, completely different. Living within sanity, as in sanity is where you are, or living with insanity, you're insane. They mean opposite things, but it sounds so similar that you're not sure which one you're in. I think that that's brilliant. I really love that title. Then when he's looking at the fridge, thinking about the water, and that sarcasm about the juice, and the, like, do you want to keep the fridge open a little bit longer? like, think about how you're using that power. There's just this sniffiness to it that I love. I kind of wanted, like, oh, I can't even think who, but, like, a really silly voice actor, narrator, to be that that voice of, like, really? You're going to leave that there? It's just awesome. I love the dialogue inside. And there is that kind of vicious circle of, like, it's so ridiculously hot that you have to have water. But also, because of the pollution, it's not really good to have the water that's on tap or, like, drink the river water where you may be. And then you end up having bottled water, which, you know, makes the problem of the pollution and the how hot it is outside work. And it's like this vicious circle of, like, you one makes the other and you get stuck in it. So his little worries there, I think, are relatable to a lot of people. It's just a really great example of how a small everyday thing in your life can be an argument with your conscience. It doesn't have to be a, like, do I steal to feed my family kind of thing, or, like, you know, like, the it's not a life or death murder kind of situation. Our conscience can kick in about smaller things, and that ends up influencing our everyday life. I thought this was really cool.
Absolutely. That was a big comment. I remember one time I went for a walk and forgot my regular water bottle, and it was a really hot day, and I did stop to buy, like, a $2 bottle, plastic bottle of water, and some guy actually had, and this is what after I'd walked for, like 3 or so miles, and some guy actually had the nerve to start lecturing me. And I tell you, my conscience did not kick in that day. I believe what kicked in was the swear words that came out of my mouth when I told him where to stick it where the sun doesn't shine. There's just a time and a place to have those kind of discussions. And when a hot, sweaty woman is buying a bottle of water, that is not the time, you know?
Yeah. Better hydrate.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to put you to work reading now.
All right. So what am I going to read?
It's by Jenny the Deep. You might have to refresh.
Oh, there we go. Okay. All right. Arguing with My Conscience, So Pompous, by Jenny the Deep. Pulling matters of gray ribbon one by one makes my head feel like it weighs a ton. Playing blame games with myself can't work. Arguing with myself just makes my thoughts worse. Quickly I am losing me to myself, trying to but can't wake up from this hell. An empty soul clings to a vessel full of strife, screams inside, longing to get out and climb. Can't seem to get out of my head, full of self-hate and jaded dread. Every time an opportunity arises to do what's right, I seem to do wrong, keeping my conscience up at night. When I do choose the right path, thinking is all is clear. It's as if it's too late and my guiding light disappears. Nothing I do seems to satisfy this restful conscience. I will always hear its continuing judging correspondence. First stone to last stone, it will endlessly cast, setting me up to giving up on me just as fast. Why bother with you, my dear old conscience, when you yourself are hypocrite, acting so pompous? End poem.
great read, Pam. I like that there's some off rhymes in this. The conscience and correspondence, the conscience and pompous. You know, conscience is not an easy thing to rhyme with, and I feel like she made some stuff work in here that was it had a good sound to it. I liked that line. I will always hear its continuous judging correspondence. It makes it seem like it's like old school letters you're getting, and it's like mail from yourself. Like, why did you do that? And correspondence in that way tends to take longer. So it just makes me think about those times where you're like feeling guilty about something years later. I mean, maybe that's just me because I'm very neurotic, but like it won't be something big. Like it's like something really stupid where you just said something awkward or something, and it's like 6 years later I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. that delayed reaction, that's what I think about when it's the judging correspondence. It arrives late and it's like, hey, why'd you do that thing? I'm like, oh yeah. I just love the word correspondence there. The calling your conscience a hypocrite is great because it's yourself that's criticizing. So if you've done the thing that it's criticizing, then you are a hypocrite to criticize anyone for it because you did it. So I think that's an interesting way to put it. This really works out. It talks about that confusion of being so mad at yourself and never seeming to be able to do good enough that you feel good about yourself, which is a really hard place to be in mentally. But based on all of Jenny's poems, she seems like an absolute sweetheart. So I doubt she has, you know, so much to feel guilty about at night. But sometimes, you know, sweet people just are hard on themselves about every little thing. And I think this is really great. Also, the gray ribbon at the front, the first line, makes me think about, like, gray matter. So it's like your brain, and you're just pulling at that ribbon. You're taking it apart and unwinding it, looking at everything. It was an interesting way of putting it. What were your thoughts, Pam?
Yeah, I like this. I like this. And, you know, isn't the gray ribbon also the ribbon that they use for brain cancer or something? I can't remember.
Yes. That's right. As a brain tumor survivor myself, there is a gray ribbon for Brain Tumor Awareness Month.
Oh, cool. But yeah, I did like the rhyme in this and how, like you said, some of the off rhyme, because, like, you know, as you were saying, conscience isn't an easy word to rhyme. I like how this speaks on being our own worst critic. Can't seem to get out of my head, full of self-hate and jaded dread. Every time an opportunity arises, do what's right, I seem to do wrong, keeping my conscience up at night. You know, and it can be a struggle to make the right choices in life, and it's not always easy. And it's especially not easy to forgive ourselves. Like, we seem to be able to forgive other people quicker than and more easily than we can forgive ourselves. I also like where she says, first stone to last stone, it will endlessly cast. You know, the thought of, you know, casting stones at people that we judge, or, you know, that saying, those who live in glass houses shouldn't cast stones. And, there's a lot of this speaks to me on that inner war that we have in ourselves, that inner criticism. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Agreed. And now we're going to go back to that G.A. Grimm one that I accidentally played earlier. now that it's the right one. So eternally internal to by G.A. Grimm is the one that I played at the wrong time before, but we're going to play it properly now for this contest about conscience. So this next poem is by G.A. Grimm.
This is Eternally Internal 2, a cappella, by G.A. Grimm. I'm telling you to please go away. It would be better if you don't stay. Pack up your baggage and leave this place. Give me a moment, give me some space. I'm tired of your voice in my head. Just leave me be and fuck off instead. Don't need you to tell me what to do. I know my prayers won't never come true. Stop telling me that you know I'm seen, making me believe this world's not mean. Give me hope when I know there's none, that once these clouds go, I'd see the sun. Gonna set a fire and watch it burn. That's what they do when they get their turn. This place will never have love for me. They put you in chains, not let you free. But I truly do believe in you. There is darkness, but there is light too. The goodness is not completely gone. So stop carrying that heart of stone. Put it down and you'll no longer sink. And stop slowly drowning in your drink. There are better things to quench your thirst. You just got to love yourself first.
Awesome audio. Thank you, G.A. Grimm, for making that. I thought that it was cute the way you had two voices, but also the singing voice for, like, sink and drink, the way you curled up at the end, that was great. That was really well done. So this was cool, the way that was put together. I like that you where is it now? There's just such a strong argumentative way of talking with yourself, and there's the kind of tough whoop part of him, which is the beginning, and then there's that space, and then at the end it's the gentle side. But I liked the just leave me be and fuck off instead. It's like the because you can say that to your bad thoughts or maybe to the side of you that you're struggling with, and you just need to have that kind of inner anger. You can't help it sometimes. There was steady rhyme throughout this, kept it flowing. I didn't actually count syllables, but it felt like it had a good meter. There was a natural cadence to it that had a nice bounce to it. It seemed like it was just the right amount per line. Even if they're not exactly counted out, it had a good flow to it. Where is it? They put you in chains not to let you free. There's definitely a sadness to this beginning, and then it gets uplifting at the end. The stop slowly drowning in your drink. There are better things to quench your thirst. That's a good message, and encouraging love for yourself. This is a thoughtful poem, and I really enjoyed the audio. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is definitely a thoughtful poem and a great performance. I like how the first part comes across almost like a rap or a spoken word poem with the anger and the idea that, I just want to be left alone. I don't want to think about these things. I really like, I'm tired of your voice in my head. Just leave me be and fuck off instead. Don't need you to tell me what to do. I know my prayers won't never come true. And you can feel the anger and the bitterness and the thought of just wanting to be left alone, not having to worry about anything. And then that the response was sung. I thought was great. It really balanced the two voices out. I really like that. But I truly do believe in you. There is darkness, but there is light too. And the end line, you just got to love yourself first. I like how the ending of this poem speaks in a way that, you know, like it doesn't matter how angry, depressed, struggling with addiction or whatever struggles you have, you are worthy of love. And the first thing you need to do is realize that. And so just a wonderful, heartfelt write and very well done.
Got to unmute myself there. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. We only have one more poem, but it's a super long one. And Ben, when he submitted it, said, I don't expect you to read it, and definitely not all of it, or not all in one go, because it's so huge. But what I think we're going to do is, Pam, if you'll take turns with me, we'll each read little sections, and we'll see how far we get toward the end of the show.
Okay, and by little sections, like, do you mean stanzas back and forth, or do mean, like, the vignette parts, like you'll do part one, the dream, or something like that?
I think that we'll go by vignette.
Okay, sounds like a good plan.
This is Take Me to Trouville 2, Letters to You, by Ben Hart. Places that we dreamt up as children when we were still young enough to run through hallways, homes that were to be more than just buildings, but that will remember us always. Number one, the dream. Remember when it was us, still, gods of our youth, upon that same hill, time since painted blue, when dreams carried over into waking before they cast us out in the cold, out of imagination, that had made castles out of slanted homes, when the hallway without end ended, and when we had run through it all, ignorant with haste, and there we went then, each our own way, and fools that we were, we didn't say a word to comfort ourselves when what was coming left either of us helpless, lost in old anxieties. And where you used to be, my fire thief, here I sit now, burning down to the ground. And where I used to know by the look in your eyes exactly where you planned to go, now they have glazed over because the darkness left you blinded. And so we believed that the best was behind us, and the rest of the past, that place of no reprieve, where we went to fight our battles, was the anchor round our ankles. And that we would never be real because it would never release us. So I ask you, do you remember when it was us still, gods of our youth, upon that same hill, where I told you I was leaving Trouville and you promised that you would remember me? But now I see it was grieving, as is all losing something against our will. Well, I am lost no longer. For I am returned to dreaming, and it was kind of you to lead me into something stronger that alone I couldn't have reached. I'm coming home. I just hope she's there to meet me. You would sit in your lighthouse and sketch, trying to freeze the tea-green sea to bring your winter still to its wretch, giving fishermen and fish a chance to flee.
Number two, the war. And on the nights when my fire waned and the cold rushed out of the dark like foe, when the silence had us hopeless, waiting for the whistling rain to choke the distance with snow, because at least then I could look for home, that one little light telling me where to go. Out of the hollow I walked the roads, with my eyes always trained upon the beacon meek, my heart hastened with hope, my head worried that I would awaken 6 feet deep again until my feet felt home approach. A world where they still told the time by the sear of the shine and the temper of the sea, where the quiet wasn't hiding something but healing every racing mind, telling them there is a peace to find in the valleys of defeat, because if anyone can freeze this wrath, it's the one who knows this dream, who just get presents passed so they don't have to voice their belief. They were always right there as I stared down death, staring back at me. Hunter and prey, lost in the wave, they've always gone about it, each thinking, what if? This is the day we turn it around, before predator always gives in to hunger. But I bet he had done not so had you kept your lighthouse on just a little longer. Because if anyone could freeze that wrath, it would be the songbird, the muse making gardens out of galaxies, the one I heard calling out for peace in between the tick of the artillery, the tenderness that tamed the beast and so froze a tea-green sea to give good men in hell a chance to flee. Even in your absence, mon ami, you have no idea what you have given me. I would sit on the hill and wait while you drew, and once in a day, I would count the cracks in your keep. Every brick that I rouged, you just paint them anew. So I painted my house every night to sleep.
Three, the moment. And when I finally thought, he was a home waiting to be found. Here was a home waiting to be found. I saw grief had won, and all of me was lost. And so I wondered if in fact I had succumbed when I found naught of my memory left upon wandering that battleground in your eyes. And where you used to see right into me, now I was simply see-through. And the worst thing is I cannot tell which one of us is so far removed? And if I had survived the war, how cruel that you still buried me so deep that now I am a stranger who carries with him nightmares into waking, who sees foe in every shadow, and so he cannot sleep, who only when without walls feels he can breathe. Sitting on that hill, time has painted blue, waiting to be disassembled in the snow, because there is nothing there God would like to keep. And right now, there's nowhere I'd rather leave than the slopes of defeat that lead me to you. And yet, I am here, outside, still tethered to fear, and I can close my eyes and wish it all away. But I've been doing that for years, trying to survive, and all that remains is you anyway. So it is futile flight, a way for tired hands to throw the fight, beat the bricks till they're bloodied, until pain becomes funny, and it's not quite the other side, but I guess it's realizing we're no longer in such a hurry, that you're not the one who buried me, because here I sit, and here I get, to see the clouds sail away, yet for beloved Britannia, where they sacrifice freedom for security, just like I have been doing, whereas our love was always so worryless, but I've been here for millennia. And so I have come to know the ruin. My dear, I know I am the one left, but why did you let go of me? To the extent that you're only ever here, that you only ever meet me in poetry, in the quiet eye of the eddies, but never in the sway. My love, how cruel of you to have let me decay. Hoping so, you would elect to stay there, right when the seagulls could still see you, but the rest of the world nulled into nowhere, where everything was evergreen, and you could hardly see the blue. I don't know,
four.
Pam, do you think we have... Oh, there you go. Yeah,
you know what? Let's go ahead and stop there, actually, because...
We're really
you
close.
Know, yeah. Sounds like a good plan.
So we'll have to be continued for that poem, which Ben had predicted that there wouldn't be time. So I know that he'll understand that we had to break it up. And it was off to a good start, though. It was fascinating.
Absolutely.
And that one may end up becoming a book. It's part two. And Daniel had said that after part one, he wanted to see this become a book, and maybe it will. So that would be cool. Thank you, everyone who wrote for the show, and thank you, Pam, for filling in again. I love having you here. Hopefully Babbler will be back soon. That's not to say you can't be here, Pam. You're always welcome. but we wish Babbler well. This has been a really interesting set of poems. I was excited by the contributions. We've been getting good stuff. Tomorrow, I'll be doing Double Helix. We're going to do The Art of Scotch Sharp. And then I believe you have a show. Pam, what's going on your show tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night for Break On Through, our main topic, we do have some carryovers, but our main topic will be quotes from the metaphysical poets. And that contest will be closed. However, the topic board will be available if anybody wants to share something on topic. So poetry readers and commenters always welcomed.
Awesome. All right. Well, I will talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Phil, for giving us this time on the show. Have a great night, everyone. And we will see you next time.